Give the gift that everyone wants, Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide, plus get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Save on USDA-certified tender bacon-wrapped filet mignons, perfectly aged ribeyes, gourmet sides, and decadent desserts, delivered right to their door. Skip the stress. Order now at omahasteaks.com. That's omahasteaks.com, and use code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout to get an extra $35 off. Hurry, these deals won't last. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Guys, we have a very special episode of TFL Talking Trucks podcast for you right now because we're in the studio.
Yeah, and especially if you're watching this video, we're going to talk through this very special guest that we have on the podcast.
Which is a truck.
Which is a truck, which is even better than a regular human guest.
Exactly. So, a couple of things going on. We're here in the garage. We're next to the new 2026 Ram 1500 Express that I recently drove just last week from Detroit to Denver for some testing.
Yeah, and this truck is very interesting because obviously, every time we do videos on trucks, it's one of the main comments that we see that truck prices are getting out of control. Those sticker prices have definitely been, I wouldn't say creeping up, they've been kind of skyrocketing over the last several years. And this truck in particular that we're looking at behind us is how Ram is trying to address some of that. So this is a more affordable version of a Ram 1500 that we're going to walk through in detail.
Exactly. And also we have some news, several things going on. For example, Roman and Tommy are in Japan at the Japanese Mobility Show, which is their big major auto show.
It's a huge deal.
And they found some truck news for us from there. A truck that you have to build yourself.
Yeah, which is interesting. By Toyota, of all places.
By Toyota.
So it's not a startup. It's not like a...
It's the biggest company in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Automotive company. Also, some news from Ford. Their 2026 F-150 configurator recently went live.
Yep.
And I noticed a couple of interesting things that we can discuss. Also, there's a Ram dude.
Yeah, so this is not the most well-known special trim from the past.
Yes.
But there was a special model of Ram trucks way back in the day called the Dude.
Yes.
That they're bringing back for SEMA specifically, so we could talk about that.
Yeah, and also recently over the last 15 months or so, or maybe even 2 years of time, we have done many different road trips in trucks. So what I wanted to kind of focus this podcast on is, you know, why do we do these road trips and, you know, which is the best truck, right? Which was the coolest truck for a road trip?
Now, one of the trucks that we're going to be talking about is the Ram Express, this Ram 1500 Express package that we have here in the studio that we'll be walking through and talking through. Again, if you're watching the video, you'll be able to see the truck and what it looks like and all of the features, but we'll also explain those features as we go through everything. Yeah. Now, the truck itself, from the exterior, doesn't necessarily look like it's a very basic, more affordable work truck.
Exactly. It's kind of based on the tradesman. And the most common work truck, right, in the world is probably just white, basic white color with a blacked out grill, right, and very simple steel wheels. But the truck you see here in front of us, if you're just listening to this podcast, it's painted silver. The trim and the front bumper are also painted silver.
Yeah, so everything is color matched. It's all body color, so they haven't cheaped out there. So this looks like a pretty premium truck, and the wheels are really nice. They look very high end. They look a little classic. I almost want to say these remind me of some Ram truck wheels from maybe the late 2000s, but in a good way.
Yeah, and this is a 20-inch wheel. So when you kind of cross that checkbox, when you check the Ram 1500 Express, you kind of get this a little bit more attractive, not a basic look, but I would say a quite attractive look. Also, this truck has a Hurricane engine, which is their latest 3-liter twin-turbo straight six. We'll talk about that a little bit. And also, let's show the bed. Well, let's show the cab really quick before we go any further.
Yeah, so because this Ram Express that we're talking about is meant to be a slightly more affordable truck, from the exterior, at a glance, you really can't tell because it's got those bigger wheels with a nice polished finish to them. It's got the color match grille and bumpers and everything. But when you get to the interior, then you start to see that this is a more basic truck. So these are cloth seats, and it's a six-seat configuration. So it is a bench in the front, which of course you can fold down to have yourself a center console as well. So when you're not using it, you can use it as a regular console. But the interior is a little simplified, which for the most part, I actually don't mind. So there's a few things like the cubby that's up above the glove box doesn't have a cover over it. So that's one of the ways that you could tell this is a more basic truck. It also has a set of analog gauges, which I appreciate because these don't look like very cheap basic analog gauges. They're backlit, LED. They look pretty premium. There is a small screen in between the analog gauges. And then in the center of the dash, there's a screen. It's not the biggest screen they
make. It's an 8-inch, yeah.
But it's an 8-inch screen. Yeah. It's plenty big enough.
Yeah.
Plus, they've got actual physical controls for the climate and everything. So for the most part, I really actually don't mind this interior on this truck at all.
Exactly. And when you just folded the center seat here in the front, I wanted to point out how easy it was.
Yeah.
Right? There's a little strap that's on the driver's side. And I think, well, GM and Ford also have similar configurations, right, where you can get kind of a bench seat with a folding center section. But I think this is one of the simplest ones.
Absolutely, yeah.
You just pull once.
It's convenient. You know, I love having trucks that have a bench seat in the front because, of course, you don't always have to use it, and you maybe feel a little cramped when you are three across. But you still have the option, which is great. So that might be a situation where you can take one vehicle instead of two. So
exactly.
I love having a
six-seater. For maybe a short trip. I don't think I want to do 1,000 miles with six people.
Which, speaking of, you did do around about 1,000 miles in this very truck.
Yeah, so I think we have to discuss first why we do road trips at TFL and TFL truck specifically and for our podcast. Couple things, because we want to be first.
Yeah.
Right? That's the big deal.
So sometimes we have to go to where the trucks are.
Yeah. So we have to go to where trucks are. So sometimes we borrow a truck from a manufacturer like this. So this Ram 1500 Express doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Ram. And I was in Detroit for an event, and there was an opportunity to bring this truck back and actually, you know, do some detailed testing and have it for a longer period of time. And we wanted to be first about it. And this is a 2026 model. So not an all new truck, right? Because it came out, this trim and this powertrain came out about a year ago. But nonetheless, this is a two-wheel drive.
Yeah, so there are a couple things about this truck that if it were you or I speccing it out, we might do slightly differently.
Exactly.
So we live in Colorado. Having a two-wheel drive truck works fine in maybe the Southeast, like where I'm from.
Yeah.
But out here, four-wheel drive is pretty important. So we would both spec a truck with four-wheel drive. The other thing is this truck, as it's spec'd, does not have a trailer brake controller.
No, it does have a hitch though, with wiring, but no trailer brake controller. So that's another way, you know, this truck is maybe a little bit more less expensive than it would have been. But it doesn't have two other things. I think you would be really upset at this case. First of all, there are no buttons on the back of the steering wheel.
Yeah,
can
which
you show that?
I've complained about in the past, but that is a bit of switchgear that I use constantly as I'm driving any vehicle under the Stellantis umbrella. I love the skip track and the volume buttons on the backs of the steering wheels. I use them constantly. So that's one switch that I wish they hadn't cost cut on this particular model, because I think it's very useful.
It's available on other Rams, obviously.
Yeah.
But there's another thing that's missing that you might be upset about, and I think I'm upset about, is this area. It has no recovery points.
Yeah, which...
No tow hooks in the front.
I suppose you could argue on a two-wheel drive truck you shouldn't be getting into a situation where you need a recovery hook.
Yeah.
But you could also argue that because it's two-wheel drive, you're that much more likely to need it to be recovered.
Exactly. So yeah, if you and I spec this truck out, I think we would have added four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
We would have added brake controller.
Which would, of course, bring the price up.
Yes. Four-wheel drive costs at least about $3,500. So it's a sizable step up.
It is.
But I think we really need it in Colorado. And also, I think you and I would have spec'd a little bit more off-roady version, probably with tow points in the front.
Yeah, and especially, too, considering that adding some options like that make a truck pricier, but A lot of trucks that are already on dealer lots are seeing some pretty big incentives, especially here locally in Colorado. You're seeing as much as, what, $7,000 off the sticker price of a lot of Ram trucks that are for sale locally here?
Exactly.
That's going to depend on where you live.
Yeah.
But that's not bad.
And the Express, currently, we usually don't talk about the incentives, right? Because they changed a lot.
Yeah.
But right now, at least, in the Ram 1500 Express, there's like a $3,000 or $4,000 manufacturer incentive.
Yeah, so that could make up for some of those extra options that both Andre and I would probably equip on one of these.
So I did drive it over 1,100 miles last week with Zach, our producer Zach, and I. So recently, about a year ago, we kind of made a policy decision, you know, always two people in the truck for a road trip.
Yeah.
Actually, we made the decision, I think, years ago. And also, we're not cannonballing trucks, right, anymore.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we want to be safe, you know, we stay wherever we need to stay. And also, this truck, I'm not going to go into detail on the trip because there's a video about it, but this was one of the best recent vehicles on fuel efficiency. It got over 25 mpg, 25.2, and partially case is because this truck sits lower to the ground. You can kind of tell if you're watching. It's about, you know, maybe two hands, like 10 fingers off the ground.
Yeah, to the very lower part of the skirt up front.
Yeah, but also it has a movable chin. On the highway, it retracts a little bit down. So aerodynamically speaking, this truck is really good. But for having 420 horsepower and 469 pound-feet of torque, and get over 25 mpg, that's remarkable, I think.
Yeah, it's really not bad. And like you said, it made for a good road trip truck, not only because of the fuel economy, because of the power, but even though this is a more basic truck, it actually has a decently comfortable interior.
Exactly, and the cloth seats are actually, I would choose these cloth seats over many others, except they don't have heated function.
Yeah.
In this truck. In this truck, we do have a Monroney. Technically speaking, this truck on the Monroney, because it also has a preferred package on it, is just over 51 grand. But like we were saying, we would spec our truck out a little bit differently if we were actually speccing it out.
So tell me about the difference between, so this is an Express.
Yes.
Right, but you also mentioned the preferred package. So what are the details and the differences?
So we can kind of take a look here. And by the way, EPA did rate this truck at 25.
And that's what you saw as well.
And we saw at least a little bit over that. This is so small, dude.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard to read, especially for the people that are listening.
Yes. We're so sorry, but the customer preferred package is about $2,100, just over that. And it has a folding rear seat, which is split 60-40. It has the 20-inch wheels, actually.
And it gets you the body color bumper and the grill and everything. So a lot of those things that make this truck
look a little bit more premium.
Yeah, appear more premium are part of what brings that price up, but not by a ton.
Yeah, but I did another story where I configured a new Ram 1500 Tradesman, which comes in a really cool Canyon Lake color, which is a little bit green tint, with steel wheels, 18-inch wheels, which means you have more sidewall, and four-wheel drive, and the Hurricane engine, and the towing pack with the brake controller.
Yeah.
And that was about 49 grand.
Yeah, which is a cool way to spec a truck, because that way you were able to keep it under 50,000, and that makes it a more interesting story.
And four-wheel drive.
Yeah, and four-wheel drive. Yeah. So I think that makes it a more interesting story. But to the credit of this package this truck has, I would say if you're spending, again, it's going to depend with incentives, but if you're buying a truck that has an MSRP around $50,000, another $2,000, if you care about it not looking like a work truck, if you care about it having paint matched bodywork and nicer alloy wheels, $2,000 is kind of a drop in the bucket with 50,000 MSRP to make it look like a much more premium, nicer truck. So to me, it would be worthwhile, but it depends on what you're going for.
Exactly. And so that's this Ram 1500 Express. Let's hit some news before we look at some other road trips.
Yeah.
So let's see. I went to Germany recently. Like, you and Roman did a couple of podcasts.
Is that a block of ice?
It's a sculpture made out of rock. Oh, sorry.
Interesting. Yes. Yeah, so Andre is pulling up a picture of
me standing next to a sculpture.
A very interesting looking sculpture.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's apparently it's a sculpture of a van.
It's a Sprinter. Yeah.
So what? How abstract? Were you at an art museum? What's going on, Andre? Why are you? Why do you have a thumbnail of you next to a sculpture?
It's because the new Sprinter is coming, but this is a tease. This is a tease of a new Sprinter.
Well, that's a very interesting way to tease a vehicle is to create a sculpture that looks vaguely.
Yeah. So now,
like a Sprinter van.
I'm kind of I'm automotive journalist, but now I can kind of consider myself an art journalist.
Yeah. So I wonder if for the next Ford truck that comes out, if they're going to do an oil-based canvas painting, or maybe velvet.
I hope not.
To tease the truck.
I hope not. So seriously speaking, so I did go to Stuttgart. This is where kind of Mercedes is based out of, as far as globally. They're celebrating 30 years of the Sprinter van, right? So 1995 was the first year where they transferred, they had vans, of course, going back into the 1800s. The first Mercedes commercial vehicle was in 1896.
And that was a while ago.
And we have a classics video about it. I didn't get to drive it. So
yeah,
I don't know if Tommy did either, but they refurbished a 1896.
Not 1996.
No, 1896, almost 130 years old, little one cylinder. It kind of looks like a horseless carriage.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, I know Tommy at one point drove the Benz Patent Motor Wagon, which is kind of
the first car.
Yeah.
Which is similar to that, yes. So they had vans going back to that, but in 1995, they created the Sprinter name. Mm-hmm. It's been very successful. You know, it's not the best-selling commercial van in the world because Volkswagen, Ford, GM, I mean, all of them sell commercial vans. But they still sold 5 million Sprinters since 1995 worldwide. And the next one is coming.
Yeah,
next year, which is
a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a
so
big deal.
Even though they showed us, they teased it with a sculpture.
Yeah.
I actually did see one, but we weren't allowed to video it or talk about it.
Interesting.
It's still, you know, a little secretive right now.
Yeah.
So that's a piece of news from Germany.
Right.
Now we have to look at a little bit of piece of news from Japan. We're really international on this podcast.
Yeah, especially right now since Roman and Tommy, like you said, are in Japan.
So can you see that?
Yeah.
So if you're watching this. So Roman and Tommy at their Japanese mobility show, and in the Toyota booth, they found this. It's a Toyota IMV Origin. That's the name.
Yeah, so this is the build-it-yourself truck kit that Andre was talking about.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, looking at this vehicle, it's kind of like a mostly flat platform with a slight cage over the driver. And a small console and a seat, but it's all open. It
no
looks
doors.
Like it's maybe got a windshield. It's got a couple small lights, but yeah, no doors.
And the seat is like a camping inflatable cushion.
Yeah, the seat looks like an inflatable something out of a lunar rover.
Yes.
Although you probably wouldn't want to inflate a seat in space, but.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
This is interesting. To me, this Toyota IMV prototype.
Yes.
Doesn't really look like a truck. It kind of looks like a utility golf cart.
But technically, because it's a platform, it's technically the entire vehicle is a bed.
Right, Yeah, with no bedsides. It's just flat.
Exactly.
I'm sure you could put bedsides on it.
You could put bedsides on it. Hold on, let me just look up a Toyota IMV Origin. Yeah. You could watch a video about this. Here's another. There's a couple of images of this. For example, Road and Track had a couple of images of this as well.
Yeah, it really looks like a lunar rover.
Yeah, it almost looks like a space vehicle, but it's meant really for like rural markets and also markets like in Africa. And partially the reason, well, I didn't get the entire story from Toyota, from Roman and Tommy, but basically the story is you want to bring the price way down, right? And one way to do it, like the original Jeep
Willys. Is by literally offering less truck. Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
Original military Jeep, right, in 1941 came in a crate, you know, what was folded down.
Yeah.
And you took it out and you put the wheels on it, you know, you folded the windshield up and you kind of finished assembling it and then you would drive it away, right?
There's something about a Willys MB that looks a little better than this.
Than this. Yeah, so this is supposed to be electric, and you could put the seat either on the right-hand side for driving or left-hand side for driving. And I thought it was a kind of an interesting concept.
It is interesting.
Not street legal, I would say.
No, and because especially not here in the States.
No, because it doesn't have, like, airbags.
And I can't imagine it does more than 45. I hope not, because it's completely open.
Yeah, so top speed is questionable on this. But it could be a nice ranch vehicle, right?
Sure.
To use around a farm or a ranch. So
it's definitely interesting. It's a unique concept.
Now, let's get to a truck that we actually buy and
can
go on the road, which is the 2026 Ford F-150. So I've been kind of waiting for this. I've been away for a couple of weeks traveling, but the 2026 F-150 configurator is online, and I don't know if you could tell, Case, on camera, but the color palette got more and more boring.
Yeah, it's
it's black to gray to silver to white.
Yeah, it's like you're shopping for a laptop or something. There's different shades of silver and black for the most part.
Yes, and white. Different shades of white, different shades of silver.
And one slightly blue and one slightly green, it looks like.
I don't know.
Is that even marsh? No, that's just gray.
Marsh gray, it's
called. Okay, it's a greenish gray.
So the pricing did change a little bit, and most manufacturers increased their destination charges to $25.95.
Yeah.
Which is insanely high destination charge.
Yeah, Toyota's not quite as high.
Three did this. GM, Ram, and Ford recently went there on pickup trucks. But I noticed another thing. So remember how in 2021 I purchased one of the first F-150 hybrids?
Yeah. Right?
It was a work
power
truck,
boost.
Power boost. It was an XL crew cab, you know, shorter bed, which is a 5.5-foot bed, which is the most popular configuration. I think, I can't remember exactly what I paid. This was, almost 5 years ago? It was about $42,000, $43,000.
Yeah.
For the one I purchased. It was four-wheel drive. Look at this. So now, in a Super Crew, which is a crew cab, when you build an XL truck, Power Boost is not even an option anymore.
And on that model.
On that trim.
And I'm sure you were one of the very few that spec'd a truck that way.
Well, I am. Maybe I was, but you want to be frugal with your money, right, sometimes. And I think commercial vehicles, like maybe police trucks and some others, that you may still be able to get a hybrid in an XL. But you can't for a regular consumer anymore. You cannot configure it that way. And check this out. If you did want a hybrid, for example, STX is the next trim level that you could build, which starts at $44,000. And look, it includes red color.
Red. Wow.
Whoa.
That's good.
Now you can paint your truck red. Wait a minute.
But if you paint it red, it adds on packages that
cost $8,200?
Yeah, increase the price by $8,000. So maybe not red.
Okay, not red. But if you want to add the power boost, which is this, which is a really cool powertrain, because you can also have power export.
I'm holding my breath.
Watch this.
It goes tells from you 47. Ooh.
it adds $9,100.
Again, not just because of the engine.
No. No,
the powertrain
because
option itself.
They're making you purchase a four-wheel drive and then a more premium package.
Yeah, so the cheapest then that you can get into a Power Boost now is 56.6, so almost 57,000.
Yeah, let's
and that's
confirm.
Before destination, right?
Let's confirm. That's with destination.
That's with destination.
56.6.
Yeah, so and you paid what?
42.
Yeah.
So well, that was before. Well, that was right during COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, so a huge price increase. And of course, some of the other price increases are not as bad. Oh, there's one more thing. I think Ford listened to us.
So about what?
Roman purchased F-150 Tremor for the company, right?
Yep.
We own one in our fleet. Remember how there is a basic Tremor and then there's a very expensive one?
Yeah.
Right? So for 2026, I just noticed, let's go back to the Tremor configurator. Sorry, we're really going deep on this one.
Tremor
starts at 64, which is actually similar to where it was. So the pricing did not jump in a huge way. Once again, you can get 50 shades of gray.
Yeah, although once the destination is added on top of that,
oof, it went to 68, which is actually what we paid.
Yep.
I mean, that's the sticker on our truck that
yeah,
was
not,
on our
not
truck.
Yeah, not what we paid out the door.
We paid less because of the incentives.
$120 bucks to get a V8.
Yeah, $120 to get a V8, which is not bad.
Not bad.
But look at
60
this.
60 bucks a cylinder.
Look, they created a mid-grade Tremor that costs about $4,000, and if you click to see what's in it, ooh, it's the torsion front differential.
Yeah.
Remember how we complained about this?
Off-road, that torsion front differential is really nice to have, but it also has some nice luxury features as well. Heated
steering wheel. Yeah.
Which is great.
Power adjustable pedals.
Yeah, power folding mirrors.
So what nice. Basically happened here, because I was complaining that, you know, in order to get a torsion differential, you had to pay like $11,000
yeah.
to step up to the premium Tremor.
Now you can get a more basic truck with that limited slip in the front.
For about $4,000.
Which is great.
So I'm gonna claim a win on this one.
Yeah, we'll call it a win. It's still, with that package, it'd be about 72,000 including destination. So it's
yeah.
not cheap, but it's cheaper than it was.
So let's walk around the front because we've been kind of sitting by the bed. It was kind of a bed talk section of our podcast.
Yeah.
Finally, a piece of news.
Yes. The
Ram dude.
Tilt your screen down a little.
Which way?
Yes.
So SEMA is coming up.
Yeah.
Dude, SEMA is just, what, several days away?
Yeah, and Andre and I are both going to
and
that
Roman
show.
And Roman is going to be there, too.
Yeah, so we're going to have a bunch of videos from that.
Yes. So the Dude is a SEMA concept truck, so you cannot buy the Dude right now.
Yeah, but in the past, the Dude was a trim that Dodge sold
yes.
on their trucks.
So in 1970 and 71, they did have a sport trim package called the Dude. And it seems like if people like the concept truck at SEMA called the Dude, which is actually a little bit lowered.
Yeah.
So it has about a 1-inch lower suspension. It's a V8. I mean, they're showing the Hemi version of it. And then it's painted sublime green, which is a Stellantis color.
Yeah.
So it's a really like a highlighter green almost.
Yeah, it's a really bright green. Which
I don't know if you could see that again.
Could be interesting, and I will say that Stellantis loves doing a lot of special editions and trims of trucks, so I wouldn't put it past them to actually bring this to the market.
Exactly, and there is a little bit of a push here, right? Because recently Ford introduced the F-150 Lobo,
yep.
which was a slightly lower truck with a V8 engine as well, which is meant a little bit more for street performance use, even though they did not increase the power.
Yeah, and that's an important thing right there, because Ford is, like you said, Ford's introduced a couple street trucks. The Lobo version of the F-150, like you said, doesn't have a power increase, so you could make an argument that they didn't necessarily do enough with it.
No.
But I think that if Ram is going to follow them up with also bringing out a more street-oriented truck, if they're going to be bringing theirs to market after Ford, I think they kind of need to go beyond
And they do have a Mopar Whipple supercharger package.
Yeah, but it's interesting because the Ford supercharger package that you could get for a Coyote powered F-150 has some perks and makes a little bit more power.
And also dealer installed at any dealership across the country.
Yeah, so you can get it through your dealer. So there's some additional power and additional convenience with doing it the Ford way. So I think if Ram wants to be really competitive in this, they need to find some ways to get a leg up over the other street performance trucks that came before it.
Hey, what if they offered, if the supercharger is a little bit too much of a hassle, high output Hurricane?
I was going to say Viper V10, but
okay.
High output Hurricane works too, yeah. And there is, it seems like, some tuning potential for the Hurricane, because Tommy and I went to Roadkill Nights. We were in Michigan, and Dodge has a big presence at that event.
Yeah.
And they had given several Hurricane powertrains to some different tuning shops that put those motors in a whole bunch of different cars and uncorked them, threw massive turbos and intercoolers at them, messed with the fuel systems, and made a lot of power with those engines. So there is some extra horsepower potential with those engines, because they're pretty impressive from the factory. Like when Tommy and I were looking at the six-pack chargers, the new Hurricane-powered chargers, we were talking to the engineers. Those turbos, those stock turbos on a high-output Hurricane in that charger are peaking around 30 PSI of boost, which in a gas engine is a lot.
It's a lot, but people have tuned engines to much higher levels on boost, right?
But if you talk to somebody with a 2JZ, right?
Yes.
Like your friend. Yeah, like
Connor.
My buddy Connor. Arguably the tuner engine.
Yes.
And they've got their Mark IV Supra all hopped up and it's loud and it spits flames, and you ask them how much boost they're running through that motor. If they say 30 PSI, that's a powerful car. That's a fast Supra. So 30 PSI from a stock 3-liter straight six, a car you could just buy off of a dealer lot, is a ton. So those engines are already pretty stout.
Yeah.
And it seems like they could handle even more. So I agree with you. There's, with this engine,
if they throw a high output version of this into a street truck, that could be something special.
It could be interesting. I think there's maybe a lot that you could do with it, because again, this is an impressive engine with how much boost it has from the factory and even the potential in the aftermarket for more power output. I think one of the big hurdles for anybody who's an enthusiast who's working with one of these engines and planning on making it faster and louder and everything is that they don't sound very good. I don't love the way that these Hurricanes sound. They've made it a little bit louder in the Charger, in the Ram pickups.
And the RHO is a little bit louder.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't think it's a great sounding straight six.
You know what? Here's the thing. Let's bring it back to the road trip, right? Zach and I were driving it from Detroit to Denver, this Hurricane-powered Ram 1500 Express. And we commented that we were actually kind of glad the engine was quiet as a mouse.
Yeah, sure, for a road trip.
For a road trip, it's nice. But for a high-performance, raw vehicle, you need to have more sound.
Yeah.
You know, but on a road trip, we were having a really calm conversation at 80 miles an hour, just cruising down the road very comfortably on the highway, and that was nice for that purpose.
Yeah. I don't know if this is ever going to take off as a tuner truck, not because the engine doesn't have that ability, and I think from the factory, again, Ram could take this motor and take it to the next level from even where it's at now, which is already pretty in high output form, is a pretty impressive engine. I don't know if it's really going to take off in the aftermarket community, because like we said, it doesn't sound that good, but functionally speaking, Hurricane is a good motor. It's smooth, it makes a lot of power, a lot of torque. So
wasn't there a tuner Viper with a Hurricane 3-liter?
There's a Viper not that dissimilar from ours, but instead of the V10,
but that was what, like 800 horse or something?
Yeah, it had a hopped up Hurricane in it.
Yeah.
And several other tuning shops had done the same thing with those engines. And they can handle quite a bit of power.
Yeah.
It just doesn't have that sound, that grabs
that,
you.
That raw sound, yeah.
Yeah, they were loud.
Yeah, well,
didn't.
Let us know what you think in the comments below. If you're heard it tuned one of these engines in a special tune, or maybe if you're an exhaust manufacturer, right?
And you
like
can even
Magnaflow or somebody else.
And and you could go even find videos if you're a viewer wondering about how these engines sound. You can find some videos of how the Charger six packs sound, because they especially, well, like you said, the RHO has some extra sound, but as do the Charger six packs, and it's a different kind of noise.
It's a different noise. So I just wanted to kind of finish this podcast. You know, we're kind of in the midpoint of this podcast, but I made some notes, Case, about all the other trips we took over the last few
months.
Yeah,
so we could talk a little bit more about road trip trucks, which is probably the original concept and not how grade sixes sound.
I realized something. Here's my raw notes. You're getting behind the scenes kind of look at this. I realized that over the last 15 months, I've road tripped six trucks and five of them are Rams.
Yeah, I don't know
what
how
is
that
up with
happened.
That?
I don't know.
Okay.
Why aren't Ford and Chevy giving you more trucks?
I can explain.
Road trip.
I can explain.
Well, yeah, you road trip that dually, the Ford, right?
Well, you and I tripped it.
But I mean the red one, the single cab.
Yeah, but that wasn't a dually. Remember, that was an off-road version?
Was that a single rear wheel?
Yeah, it was an F-250. So.
The single cab long bed?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a while ago, but we road tripped
that. No, but it's on my list.
Okay.
It's on my list.
That was just
recently. I mean, this was this summer, in 2025. So that truck. So let's get there chronologically speaking. So we talked about the Ram 1500 Express two-wheel drive, amazing efficiency at 25.2.
Yeah, that's the truck we have here in the studio.
By the way, because it has that more efficient rear axle, which is a 321:1 instead of a aggressive axle like a 392:1. The towing ability on this one is only about 8,400 pounds.
Yeah.
So you have to be mindful of this. So when you purchase, or let's say you're walking down a dealership row and you see a lot of vehicles parked, a lot of trucks parked, and you're jumping in and out and you saw the attractive price, you have to stop and ask, wait a minute, what axle does this have? What's the towing rating? What the payload rating is?
Yeah.
Payload rating is easy because you could just look directly into the sticker, right? So payload rating is really easy because on this yellow and white sticker, you could see it, which is about 1,700 pounds on this one, right?
Yeah, but like you said, the tow rating is going to vary.
The axle is going to be different, and the tow rating is going to be a little bit more hard to find.
But the trade-off there as well is part of the reason that this truck has good fuel economy is because of
That axle.
That rear axle.
So if you're not towing a lot, 8,400 pounds, it's still a decent rating.
Sure, yeah.
For like I tow a 6,000 pound boat, this will be plenty for me.
Yeah.
Like I don't need much more. Plus I get better efficiency. Now, the Warlock, here's the video. We have a playlist on TFL Truck, which is called Road Trip. So you could see a variety of road trips that we took in different trucks.
Yeah, and that was very recently. We had the Ram Warlock.
That was a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Also Detroit to Denver. Dude, I know that road pretty well now.
Yeah, you've made that drive a lot of times.
It includes some, by the way, nothing of this is sponsored, but I do like my Red's Root Beer and Hot Dog.
You're not sponsored by Red's Root Beer and Hot Dogs?
No.
You gonna go out of pocket for those? Ah, that's heartbreaking.
I also like stopping at the I-80 truck stop, which is a pretty
the truck stop's
cool,
fun.
Cool
World's
place.
Biggest.
World's biggest. Oh, can I make a side note?
Yeah.
I found my next dream truck.
Really?
At the truck stop.
In this video?
Not in the Warlock. Well, yes, in the Warlock video too.
Is it a semi?
It's a 19,
ooh.
I think it's a 1940, so pre-war, cab over, Ford, semi-truck.
Yep, that's pretty cool.
Do you see, I mean, proportionally it looks good, it's got nice fenders, it's got headlamps.
It's hauling a load of washer fluid.
Well, that's the one they have at the truck stop, but these are hard to find.
Yeah.
I tried looking for these. These are very, very hard to find. So if you're listening or watching, if you're selling a 1940s cab over truck,
Andre will buy it, and then he'll do like a cool, some cool Detroit diesel and a twin stick. And
I'm going to do a chassis swap.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You and I talked about this.
True, yeah. You could drop that body on a more modern,
modern chassis. Yeah.
And get functional brakes and powertrain such that you could actually tow a trailer with this to this day.
Anyway, cool. That was a side note. Now, going back to our videos, hold on, let me bring that up again. Let's see. Here we go. So in the Warlock, this MPG story was way different because I got 16.1 when I drove with Cole, our producer Cole.
On that same stretch of highway.
Yes. So that's 9 MPG difference.
That was a Hemi-powered truck.
Yes, which was a lifted Hemi-powered truck.
Four-wheel drive
with aggressive tires.
Yeah.
They'll have those Duratrax, I believe, Goodyear Duratrax tires. So that's just to tell you, and an aggressive rear axle that had a 392:1.
So it's a big difference between trucks and how they're spec'd.
Yeah, and let me bring this laptop to the front.
So as much as we like the off-road trucks because we live in Colorado,
that's a big price.
That's a big penalty.
Yeah, that's a big penalty in fuel efficiency. Then next on our list is that F-250. So here was the, let's see, that's Roman and I.
Yeah, so you road tripped a very, admittedly very basic F-250, single cab, vinyl floors, cloth seats, long bed, but it was a great towing rig because you guys actually used this F-250 not only to drive cross country, but to pull our deuce and a half from Utah back to Colorado as well.
Yeah, exactly. So we picked up our General Giant, which is a Bob deuce and a half, in near Salt Lake, Utah. And we drove down towards Moab because we have to go to Moab, right? I mean, it's an amazing place. And also we wanted to off-road our General Giant truck over there. But when I pulled up, can you see that?
Yeah. Ooh,
sorry. When I pulled up, when Roman and I pulled up in an F-250 two-door regular cab truck with a gooseneck trailer, by the way, Silver Spur, a trailer dealership here in Colorado, let us borrow this gooseneck trailer. So shout out to Silver Spur. That was a pretty amazing deal that we had. The people were there were like saying, will this truck even pull this?
Because it looks a little small.
It's shorter wheelbase. Yeah, it's short wheelbase, but it does have a power stroke, right?
Yeah.
So it does have a V8 turbo diesel with a ton of power. So the power wasn't a problem. And this truck was rated to tow, I think, just over like 20,000 pounds, the way we had it configured. And our trailer was near there.
Yeah.
I think our trailer with GG on top, who weighs approximately 11,000 pounds, and the trailer itself weighs about 8,000 plus. We were pulling like 19,000 pounds cross country.
Yeah.
In a little baby two-door truck.
But it still did
pretty
well.
And it did really well. But what didn't go so well, it got 8.2 MPG.
Pulling the trailer?
Pulling 19,000 pounds.
Look,
so.
Well, think about this. What does the deuce get on its own?
Not even that, probably.
Not even that. So
we saved money.
You burn less fuel pulling that truck on a trailer behind another truck.
Yes. So that's what you can expect. I mean, we've done many different iGauntlets, right, with many different heavy-duty trucks.
Think about that. This F-250 is not only more efficient pulling the deuce on a trailer than the deuce is on its own, also faster.
And more comfortable.
Yeah. So,
dude, the top speed of the deuce and a half, I'm sorry, this Bob truck is like 57 miles per hour.
So the fastest and most efficient a deuce and a half
is on a trailer.
Is on a trailer behind something else.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny.
So that was an interesting trip, very unique. Obviously, we don't do a lot of towing trips cross country, but that was one of those trips. And once again, why did we do this? Because it's an interesting truck, right?
Yeah.
So you don't see many of these. They had an off-road package, which is a 33-inch tall tire. It's got a rear locking differential. It's got a winch in the front. It was kind of pricey, remember? It was just over 70 grand.
Yeah, which
for this type of truck is a lot of money.
Feels like a lot.
But nonetheless, it was an interesting truck and we wanted to be first once again. Then, so the reason why we've done so many Rams recently is because Ram has been revamping their entire lineup, right? In the spring or a few months back, I was in Las Vegas with you.
Yep, we did Davis Dam.
Actually, well, we went from Vegas to Davis Dam, right? And then we towed a bunch of trailers with Ram at the event. Then you and I flew home. A day later, I got on the plane again.
Yeah.
I flew to Vegas again and
drove a truck back at the end of the event.
Back. Yes,
yeah.
Which was a heavy-duty Rebel. It was the white truck, if you remember. And I met Roman in Moab again. Our favorite place.
Yep.
And he brought a Duramax.
Yeah.
So he drove our Silverado Duramax there.
Our company truck.
Let's go to that video.
Yeah, so we have also done some road trips in our company-owned Duramax as well.
Several, yes.
Yeah, which is not necessarily on your list, but that's something that we do regularly.
Yeah, but when I say road trip, I mean like more than 350 miles, like something more substantial.
Sure.
But we did this GM, the Silverado 2500 versus Rebel, and the big news about the heavy-duty truck from Ram is it's a new transmission,
yep.
8-speed ZF, and it's a new Cummins, right? I mean, updated Cummins engine.
Yeah, pretty heavily updated.
Yeah. So, and the reason why you see dogs in this video is I actually delivered dog food from Vegas to this shelter in Utah.
Yeah, because Ram wanted to have something in the bed of some of the trucks so that journalists on the launch event would be able to test out the trucks as they were hauling something.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to get a bunch of big, heavy bags of dog food and then
To do something with that.
Yeah, at the end of that, it made sense to donate that to an animal shelter.
So. Exactly. So yeah, that was cool. Really nice. This was kind of during the winter months, or actually still kind of at the end of the winter. So we hit some snow, as you may have seen if you're watching this.
Yep.
But dude, my heart was a little bit broken because the new Cummins with the new transmission got slightly less, 1 mpg less than the Duramax on that trip. So
yeah.
It got 17.3 mpg.
Yeah, so even with the updated transmission going from a 6-speed to an 8-speed, maybe partly because the Duramax has a 10-speed, fuel economy wasn't quite as good.
Yeah, but now they have the same rear axle ratio, 3:42:1.
Yep.
So we thought they're going to be very, if not the same, the Cummins may be a little bit more efficient. But the Cummins makes more torque and more horsepower than, no.
More torque.
More torque, but less horsepower.
Yeah, about 100 more torque than the Duramax.
But what, 40 less horsepower-ish?
Yeah.
Than
yeah,
the
430 instead of 470.
So,
but
yeah.
The other thing about it is that Cummins was more or less brand new when you started the road trip. And we've seen
Duramax was more broken in.
Yeah, and we've seen consistently that fuel economy gets a little better.
Yeah.
So the actual numbers might be a little closer, but maybe not a one full MPG.
Yeah. So the other new truck that was launched was the RHO. We kind of alluded to it already, right?
Yeah, and you and Jen went cross country in the RHO after the event, launching that.
In Palm Springs.
Yeah.
So we were in the desert.
And brought it through Moab once again.
There is a pattern developing.
Well, when you go from west to east and you're passing right by Moab.
Yes.
Why not stop?
Yes. So, that was one of Jen's first events. Maybe not the very first event that Jen did.
Yeah.
But that was a lot of fun because we got to go top speed, 118 miles an hour across a dry lake in the desert. That was really amazing. And then we drove for a very long time.
And on a road trip, the RHO has a couple things going for it. Maybe nothing more so than very comfortable suspension. Because a suspension that works well off-road is also pretty plush and comfortable on road, especially some of the stretches of highway we have, like where we do the Ike Gauntlet, that stretch of I-70
is beat up.
Not the smoothest road surface. So a suspension setup like what you find on the RHO actually works really well for that.
And there's another feature that made that road trip really nice, which was the hands-free driving system.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people hate it, some people love it. I'm a little bit towards the like side than hate side, because to me, like this morning I drove the Hummer EV truck that we have on loan here, and that has Super Cruise.
And Super Cruise works really well.
Yeah.
I won't tell David you said any of this, by the way, because our friend David Morrow would not agree.
No. And a lot of people don't agree with me. Like, Roman really dislikes a lot of these hands-free systems. But I think when you're going 1,000 miles, you know, like you and I drove that F-350 dually.
A long time ago, yeah.
About 2.5 years ago. It does relieve a little bit of stress.
Yeah, especially if you're bombing cross-country doing a really long drive and you're pretty tired. Some of those features take a bit off your plate, which is nice.
Yeah. So that was a nice feature, and like you said, the suspension is really comfortable. The truck was very comfortable. We got 14.5 mpg, so not great. Probably the worst out of most of these trucks.
Yeah. It's on 35.
It's a truck on 35, which is a wide body, giant heavy vehicle.
Yeah.
So, are you ready for one more?
Yep, let's hear it. It's another Ram.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you've really road tripped a lot of Rams.
Well, because Ram is revamping their truck lineup.
And they seem especially, which we're not upset about, they seem especially willing to give us trucks to drive away from events.
Exactly.
Which doesn't always work out.
But also GM and Ford are also for that. Like, you and I drove that F-350 from an event as well. So this is a work truck, a tradesman. This was, what, just over a year ago? Gavin and I, our producer videographer, Gavin.
Was this a Pentastar?
No. Also Hurricane. Also Hurricane. But aggressive axle, 392 to 1. We drove it from a work truck event in Detroit. And same route, Detroit to Denver, I-80.
Yeah.
We got 21.6.
Yeah, so once again, one of the primary differences between that truck and this truck would be what? Four-wheel drive and the axle ratio?
Uh-huh.
And
so that matters.
Yeah, so the truck that you had that was four-wheel drive with a more aggressive axle ratio got 21.6 with the same engine as this truck, two-wheel drive, with the more fuel economy focused axle ratio.
Excellent.
So 25 mpg versus 22-ish. Over time,
that's
adds
a significant
up.
Difference.
So it is worth figuring out, is four-wheel drive something you're going to use? Do you live in a place where you need it? Or that axle ratio, do you need more of that peak towing figure? Or are you going to just be driving long distances and towing lighter trailers? Because it really does make a difference.
And GM has a similar thing going on. They have a 308 to 1 and a 340 2 to 1. So GM has that. Toyota, I believe, only has one axle ratio, if I'm correct, on the Tundra. And by the way, we've done a couple of Toyota trips as well. For example, we purchased the Tacoma in Houston, Houston area, Roman and I. We drove it from Houston to Denver, also pulling a tiny trailer, a little teardrop. I drove a Tundra from Houston to Denver because we wanted to be one of the first people to have a new Tundra.
Yeah, but that was a couple of years ago.
That was 2022-ish. So we do that with every brand and every new truck possible.
So with all of that recap in mind, if I were to ask you, Andre, personally, your own personal take, what would be your favorite of maybe all the trucks in the last, let's say, two to three years that you've road tripped, which was the best?
I think it may be the truck you're looking at now.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. And I think the reason is I'm a little bit more frugal, I think, by nature. So I like the fact that this was a little bit more affordable than most other trucks that we drove. I liked the amazing MPG this got. And I also really love the seats. The seats in this truck were very comfortable. So I think this was maybe one of my more favorite vehicles. You know, I don't like a lot of GM seats on a long trip. And also that Tundra, the original Tundra, 2022 model, the new one. Also for my legs or my body, the seats were less comfortable than this Ram.
Yeah, okay, so that's fair. Now, what I'll say from my perspective, which is a little different because Andre...
Let me take the camera.
Andre ends up doing a lot of the drive-aways from these events, because if there's a new truck being launched, obviously Andre is going to go on it because he is the truck channel.
I'm the managing editor of the truck channel.
Exactly. So if at all possible, Andre's kind of got to be there when the new trucks are launched. So you're going on a lot of those events and driving these trucks home, oftentimes unladen.
And oftentimes they're not broken in.
Yeah.
Right, low miles.
When they're brand new.
Yeah.
My experience is a little different because I do a lot of our power sports stuff. I do help Andre on the truck channel, like right now.
Yes.
But most of the time when I'm road tripping cross country, I'm pulling a trailer of some kind to go to California to pick up a side-by-side, pick up some motorcycles, maybe to go out to Moab and film something on the Classics channel with Tommy, like a 70, 80-year-old Jeep.
You've pulled a lot of trailers, yes.
Yeah, not as many trailers as Andre's pulled, but at work, if I'm gonna be driving cross country, it's usually gonna be pulling something. So personally, when I'm thinking about what trucks I've had the best experience with driving cross country, my mind goes to an HD.
Yes, but which one?
And that's a tough call.
Well, because we used to own the Cummins at the company.
Yeah. So we used to have the Cummins.
And we have a Duramax.
I haven't pulled a trailer cross country in one of the new Cummins, but with our old Cummins, I drove that cross country a bunch of times, went to California and back pulling trailers. And we did some videos with that. That truck did great, and the new Ram is just an improvement on that. I agree with you that the GM seats are a little hard. To me, it's not necessarily a deal breaker. Still pulling trailers cross country with our Duramax has been a good experience. We've had a good time with it. We haven't had any issues with the transmission on our truck, so it's been fine. I was very, very impressed with that F-350 that you were mentioning earlier that we drove from Michigan back here to Colorado. We weren't pulling a trailer with that truck, but that was a very high-end dually with a, 48-gallon tank?
Yeah, so one of the biggest tanks. Yeah,
massive fuel tank. When we filled up that truck from empty to full, and we had no trailer behind it, and
here,
it was estimating...
Here's the camera. I have some notes.
Yeah, it was estimating how many miles to empty. It said over 800 miles until the tank was dry, which is almost too much, because I don't know about you, Andre, I can't sit in the same seat without stopping for 800 miles.
No, I don't think any human can do that.
I'm sure there's truckers out there that could do 800 miles like that without stopping, but you or I, too soft.
Well, maybe Dan Atkinson might. But I wrote this down, Case. When we filled up, when we did our calculation after our trip, we drove 685 miles and we had 90 miles remaining, at least on that trip.
Yeah, so...
That was massive range.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I'm also impressed that we did that many miles without stopping to fill up.
Well, we stopped actually.
Yeah, I think we did stop to switch drivers at one point.
We switched drivers. We took a snack. We stopped for food.
Because that was an MPG loop where when we filled up the truck, it was 4 a.m. or something.
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily a great day, but it was a very impressive truck for road tripping.
And also the Super Duty, the new ones, right, 2023 and onward, you can get it with lane keep system where it actually will put you in the middle of the lane. And GM and Ram heavy duties don't offer that feature yet.
Yeah.
So Ford is kind of unique.
Yeah.
Unique in that feature.
Which, especially when we were pretty tired, and that truck is also very wide, so you kind of got to keep it right in the middle of the lane. The lane keep was actually helpful. It's not usually a tech feature that I like, but on that particular trip, it was nice. So, yeah, it's tough. It's a game of margins. I think all of the HD trucks make for really good road trip vehicles. If I'm going to pick one for myself, I'll probably lean Ram, especially because I love the exhaust brake on the Cummins. Is my personal favorite.
We also tow in the mountains, because to go to Los Angeles from here, you have to cross so many mountains.
And some steep grades, and so you're using that exhaust brake quite a bit. So I really like that feature on the Ram and the way that it's configured. I think the new 8-speed makes the new Ram a lot better than it used to be, that old 6-speed. So that would be my personal pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. Like, a lot of people come up to me, usually my friends or just people I meet on, you know, at events. They say, Andre, what's your favorite truck?
And
I answer with a question. I'm like, but for what purpose?
Yeah, because right? Your favorite off-road truck is not your favorite towing truck.
Or my favorite road trip truck.
Yeah.
Right? So it really kind of matters exactly like what the use case you're looking for as far as a pickup truck. I choose this one right now because I really got amazing efficiency in this Hurricane. It's really powerful, so it's also really fun to drive.
Yeah.
And it's comfortable.
Now, it is worth noting, since in this podcast, we've talked about road tripping a lot of Rams. You just picked a Ram 1500 as your favorite road trip truck, and I picked a Ram HD as mine. It is worth noting, in the background over here, there is a GMC.
Okay.
And in fact, this is not the GMC Canyon that we own.
We own one.
But we do own a GMC Canyon AT4X. We have in our studio right now as well an AT4X AEV edition on loan from GM for a couple
weeks
to test out.
This is one bad mamma jamma.
Really cool truck. Arguably, one of, if not the best, rock crawling mid-sized trucks because the amount of space underneath this truck, the amount of clearance.
Remember I showed the clearance on the Ram and I went like this?
Yeah, with two hands to show how low the front splitter was.
There's two, three, four, five and a half hands.
Yeah, to the bottom of the bumper. And tons of underbody protection, rock sliders, 35s on a mid-sized truck, which is awesome, from the factory.
Yeah.
So this is a pricey truck, but a nice one. But it's worth noting, again, just to show that we're not...
Well, but Case, people accuse us of being like Ford fanboys and GM fanboys.
Well, yeah, we get accused of it all.
And Ram fanboys.
So right now, we've got our F-150 Tremor. We have...
Duramax.
We have the Duramax, so we've got a Chevy. We've got the GMC Canyon. We've got a 1920... What year is it? We've got a Model T pickup as well, if that counts.
Yes.
We had a Ranger Raptor before we got the Canyon. So it's actually been a while since we've owned a Ram truck as a company vehicle.
We are...
So I just wanted to balance things out a little bit.
Also, Honda...
Yeah, that's
so
true.
This
on
is
the
not
car side.
This is not doesn't belong to us, but this is a long-term test vehicle that we have here in the studios. We have it for a couple months, maybe 3 months.
Yeah, there's a Honda Passport Trail Sport. It's bright orange. It's got knobbier tires, recovery points, some underbody protection, and a really good all-wheel drive system. Not tons of clearance.
I was online a couple days ago, and I saw some news come across where somebody saw a facelifted Pilot with camouflage testing in the wild, and this is unofficial. This is just a spy photographer finding a vehicle in the wild. They said that the Pilot may have the latest hybrid system from Honda, and you know how the new Pilots have kind of squinty headlamps?
Yeah.
I was imagining, what if they did that hybrid system in the new Ridgeline?
That could be interesting.
Saying? You could get some efficiency, some power, and also the new styling, you know, more aggressive styling.
Yeah.
I think that could be a really cool thing for the Ridgeline.
I agree, and especially for the use case for that truck, I think it could be really useful because in the Ford Maverick, for example, that makes that truck that much more practical and usable. But yeah, so I just wanted to cover the fact that even though Andre and I in this podcast were talking about Rams,
we were Ram heavy.
This is a Ram heavy podcast. Wanted to remind that we drive everything, we buy everything.
Yes. Dude, this is Roman and Tommy took this GMC 84X AV off-road on our Ironclads trail here in Colorado Rocky Mountains. And they compared it to our AT4X because a lot of people don't understand what the AEV brings you. It sounds like it's just a couple of bumpers and maybe a snorkel, raised air intake, but you have slightly different suspension. It's a little bit higher and also 35s.
Yeah, better underbody protection.
And better underbody protection with all kinds of boron steel all the way. boron steel all the way down to the rear pumpkin, which also has a boron steel skid plate way down there.
Yeah, so that's a lot of what makes this Canyon 84X a fantastic rock crawling truck. And yeah, we love a rock crawling truck.
Protection.
In Colorado.
Protection underneath, really good torque.
Tons of clearance, 35s.
There's one thing missing in this truck, is it has the same horsepower as every other Canyon.
Yeah, so.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the toughest thing, is when you get out of a Ranger Raptor, and you've got what, from the factory, 400?
Five horsepower.
405
four,
horsepower.
405, yeah.
Or if you do the factory tune for $800 or so, 455 horsepower, then get into this truck with 310 horsepower. Mm. It feels down on power, but this is a better rock crawler than the Ranger Raptor.
But this is also 70,000.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
With everything, on
yeah,
it.
And a Ranger Raptor is 55
yeah,
to start.
So for 70 grand, I just wish they, I don't know.
Put a V8 in it.
Hey, V8s are coming back, right?
Yeah, why not bring it back to the
and
midside?
And they're investing into V8 technology at General Motors.
It does sound very likely that a V8 might make its way into a Gladiator.
Yes.
Which would be the first midsize truck in a while
in
to
a
have
long,
a V8.
In a long time.
In quite a while.
Yeah.
What was the last one before that, some of the 5.3s in the Colorado?
I think so, and also Dakotas.
Yeah.
Had V8 options as well.
In the second gen, right? Not in the third gen?
I think 2011 was the last Dakota. Correct me if I'm wrong. I may be getting my years wrong.
Yeah, we're pulling from memory here, so we're not perfect.
we're not AI.
We're not historians. Well, yeah, AI is
by the
maybe
way,
worse
AI,
than us.
AI can be really good at some things, like image identification, but it can be also very terrible at truck data.
I have heard that.
No, because trucks are very specific. Like
that's true.
The way this truck looks, this Ram 1500, like if I asked AI, tell me the tow rating for a Ram 1500 Express, it would give me a number like 11,000 pounds, but that would be wrong, right? Because AI didn't consider the rear axle ratio, the configuration of this truck, the cab configuration, the engine configuration. So.
And that's why we've got Andre. Intelligence.
Is that what AI stands for?
It does here.
So there's still hope for you and I, Case. I think we still may have a job for the next at least year.
For several more weeks. Through the end of 2025, at least.
Okay.
Yeah, but so we get to test and drive a little bit of everything. We do like a couple of Rams that we've driven as road trip trucks.
So now for next year, I think I need to stop driving Rams.
Apparently, well, you've driven them all.
But wait a minute. There are two other Rams that are coming next year.
That's true.
That I may have to drive.
Yeah, so you're probably not actually done road tripping
so
Rams.
So the new TRX.
Yep.
Is rumored to come very soon. And also they have the new range extended hybrid.
Yeah.
Ram.
So both of those are gonna be important ones to test.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those will be very likely trips and videos that'll be upcoming.
All right, well, thanks for joining us on this episode of TFL Talking Trucks. I know this was not kind of our normal format, but I think this is fun, right? I mean, we're walking around.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun not only talking about trucks, but actually looking at them.
Yes.
In person. Well, in person for us.
Should we rename our podcast TFL Looking at Trucks?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't have the same ring to it.
Okay, TFL Talking Trucks. Thanks for joining us once again.